listening to the WILS Weekend Kickoff on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
Jimmy Samuelson, a blogger from Detroit Free Press, will be with us at 9:50 talking about his latest blog, predicting that the Lions will win a Super Bowl before the Pistons win an NCAA championship. Also from the Detroit Free Press.
NBA championship.
What did I say?
NCAA. They don't stand a chance to
win
either
one. They might as well play an
NCAA
championship. Good God. And then also Kirtland Crawford from the Detroit Free Press will be with us at 10 o'clock to talk about the Detroit Tigers and their start to the season. Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff 1320 WILS, streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Dave Benton here with my co-host and producer Scott Eckersley. And it's time for some articles from the junk bin. And we start with what came out yesterday in Major League Baseball about Manny Ramirez. Now, the story is Manny Ramirez is retiring from baseball, from the Tampa Bay Rays, because there is some sort of suspicion going on with drugs, some sort of positive test that would force Manny Ramirez, who would be violating substance abuse for the second time for performance-enhancing drugs, to have a 100-game suspension. So Manny Ramirez is going to retire. The biggest question I have about this, has Manny Ramirez continued to use, or did Manny Ramirez say, I've signed a one-year contract with the Tampa Bay Rays, I've got one more opportunity maybe to get a two-year contract, three-year contract out of some team if I can do well this year, screw it. Let's take some steroids, let's see what we can do. If we get caught, we just retire, and if we don't get caught, make a couple extra million bucks.
My biggest question is if it's a boy or a girl. Because, I mean, that's what it was. He was pregnant last time.
Right.
Right? That's what happened. I think with Manny, he had to continue to use. He found something else. Because, I'm sorry, once it comes out, once a cheater, always a cheater. I feel we didn't really get into this yet today at all. I mean, even before the show started, I feel wipe all of his stats away. Because you don't know when he was, when he wasn't. And I'm to the point, it will not shock me when anybody, it comes out that anybody is using steroids. If Miguel Cabrera, if Albert Pujols, neither one of those would ever shock me. I'm to that point. And with Manny, I mean, yeah, you've got to kind of look at it. This was, how many seasons has he played?
He's been in the league since 1993.
Right. He came in at 21. He's now 39. Yeah, there's got to be something special going on there.
Yeah, and just if you look at his statistics, back in 2009, 290 he hit, and then again in 2010 he hit 298. He really needed to do well this year if he was going to continue to get contracts from people. And so I think it was just a screw it moment. I think it was, I wouldn't be surprised if for a little while after he got caught with the Dodgers that he said, I'm going to go clean. I'm going to play clean. I'm going to see what happens, which is why his numbers diminished a little bit. But then he said, I got one more chance to make a couple million bucks if I can do well this year. What harm am I doing myself at 39?
You bring a good point, because all he did get from the Rays was a one-year deal. Where,
yeah.
Was it $2 million?
$2 million. Yeah. Something like 2.7, maybe. Something like that.
And he was demanding a
lot
more.
When somebody like Carlos Pena is making $10 million, you are very low on the market if you are getting signed for $2 million.
And it's funny because I'm going to bring up, I was watching SportsCenter, and they brought in Tim Kirkjian, of course, to talk about it. And
well, that I'm okay with.
Yeah,
I'm all right with him talking about something like that. I just don't want him talking about the Boston Red Sox aren't making the playoffs on April 8th. That's what I don't like.
And he made the point of there's no way that he'll get into the Hall of Fame, because that's what people automatically will go to. Oh, well, is he a Hall of Famer? And I was happy that Kirkjian said no, there is no way that he will get in now, because you look at it, McGuire's going down, he got under 20% of the votes this last time, Palmeiro's never going to be close. But man, and the sad thing is, Manny Ramirez, I would actually enjoy watching him hit. He was one of the best hitters, best clutch hitters that I have ever seen. That is what is tough for me, is even when he was with the Indians, he's a guy where if there's a man on base, I liked his chances to get that run in.
For a 10-year span, I would have taken Manny Ramirez almost any single other hitter. Okay, I look at Manny Ramirez. Do I think he's a Hall of Famer because he's a cheater? No, I do not. I don't think he deserves to get in. In fact, you brought up a good point with the whole steroids thing. The only player I can see right now that is going to get into the Hall of Fame and is a known steroid user is Alex Rodriguez. He's the only guy I can see getting in. And that was because of the whole image and the way that he handled it. He went on 60 Minutes, he did all that stuff, and came clean with it. People like when people come clean. People don't like when you get caught using it and you continue to kind of sidestep it. But I look at Manny Ramirez and what from a if we take cheating out of it and we just look at the player. Because I look at steroids, I'm not as turned off by him as everybody else is. From a health standpoint, I am, obviously. But as far as does it tarnish the game, does it hurt the game, I don't know that it does as much as people think because of the fact that I guarantee more relief pitchers use steroids than anybody. Guarantee it. It just hasn't been caught. And so if relief pitchers are using steroids to regenerate their arm and get back in there on a night-after-night basis, that means that any hitter that faces them is at an unfair advantage unless they're using steroids.
The problem that I have with it is baseball is such a historical sport, and it's so, I mean, baseball is statistics. That is the bottom line, what it is. And that's the biggest problem I have because it inflates, it juices all the numbers when you look back.
But I think if you look at back at baseball, every single era has had something that you sit there and go, well, we can't take that into account. For example, when Babe Ruth was hitting home runs, he was also facing pitchers that went 9 straight innings, would go after 2 days rest and all that kind of stuff, were throwing from a different height mound. It was a different game. Did they have sliders? Did they have all that stuff? I don't know that they did. So you can take all these different eras. You can take the eras where they had the Negro Leagues and the fact that there were no black players in Major League Baseball when a lot of these records were set. And so I think that you can take that as much of an asterisk as you can these days with steroids. Am I condoning steroids? No. Am I saying these people shouldn't get into the Hall of Fame? Yeah, I don't like knowing that these people cheated, and I don't like thinking that they should get into the Hall of Fame. But I don't think it's as much of an advantage as everybody thinks it does. I'll give you an example. I was watching a 2020 story one time, and they had this on about a track athlete who was in the Olympics, and she finished second in the Olympics. She got a silver medal in the 200-meter dash, an American. And the gold medalist got tested positive for steroids, so she got the gold medal instead. Well, then she tested positive for steroids, so she got the medal taken away. They got to the fifth place runner in that race, in that final 200-meter dash, before they found a runner who hadn't done steroids. So the fifth place runner ended up being the gold medalist because 1, 2, 3, and 4 were all using steroids. And I use that same point in baseball. If everybody is using it, besides like Derek Jeter and Brandon Inge, if everybody is using it...
Whoa, don't throw Inge in as being clean. We don't know that for sure.
Well, the way he hits, I'd say he's clean. So you throw those... Everybody's at a disadvantage unless they use steroids. So I don't think it's as much of an advantage as people think. I will look at Manny Ramirez and I will say this, as a Yankees fan. There was a stretch from 2001 to 2006, and 2007 even, I hated when Ortiz and Manny Ramirez came up to bat because somebody was doing something dangerous. Somebody was. You were not getting through that part of the lineup without something happening. And I will always remember Manny Ramirez as that because how often do you have a hitter with that much intimidation? The fact that Manny Ramirez could have hit 240 for the Red Sox and you still would have been scared to death that he was going to do something because he was such a great contact hitter. He could hit it both ways and he could hit it far. And so Manny Ramirez, as awful of a fielder as he was, he was a fantastic hitter. And so I will remember him as a fantastic hitter, just like I will remember the Fab Five was a fantastic basketball team. But that doesn't mean that they didn't cheat, and that doesn't mean that they should still get recognized for that kind of stuff. Any other thoughts you got on Manny Ramirez before we move on?
No, I mean, his numbers are fantastic. And the fielding, I'd laugh seeing him in the field. He was awful. He played the wall in left, the green monster. He played that well. That was all he ever did well in the field. It was laughable to watch him try to actually play defense. But, yeah, the hitting, he was, for a while, the most dangerous hitter in the game. You can't argue against that.
I drafted him on my fantasy baseball team this year just because I'm like, you know what? If he meets any of that magic again, it's going to be a steal.
I drafted Nishioka, and that's going to work out well, too.
Nah, well, whatever. All right, let's move on. More stuff in the junk bin real quickly before we go to break. Kyrie Irving is going pro after 1 year with Duke. In that year with Duke, he played 11 games, 17 points, 4 assists. If you were Kyrie Irving's head coach or an advisor for him, would you have told him to go pro, Scott, or would you have told him to stay?
Go pro. For college basketball, I always say go pro. You have to capitalize on your own personal stock. You can't afford to take a year off and just see what will happen. Yeah, it'd be great to come back and go for a championship and be with your team, but go pro. Go make your money now. I mean, the NBA is different than the NFL. You have to be young. They want the hype. They want potential more than anything. And Kyrie Irving has loads of that.
Yeah, I wish I could disagree with you, but I can't. He might be the first overall pick in this draft. And in a year where the collective bargaining agreement is going to run out, and we don't know what the situation is going to be with rookies next year, and the fact that, as I heard from a couple of analysts, I don't want to make it sound like I this is my own idea. I've heard this a lot of places, that as you go through college, you get critiqued more. And so why wouldn't you go early while people think you're hot? Kyrie Irving could come back to Duke next year, average 14 points and 7 assists, and drop in his draft stock. And so if you have nowhere to go but down, you might as well go.
Why not leave the only highlights you have of yourself, that Michigan State game where he absolutely lit them up and was the best player on any court at that time?
Or that 28-point game right at the last game of the season, last game in the NCAA tournament when Duke got knocked out, 28 points. You really can't finish much hotter than that. And so, although I don't know that he is ready right now to be in the NBA, that doesn't matter.
And the NBA doesn't care. The teams don't care. They're willing to take a couple years.
You get yours. You get yours. You get your money. If I'm a parent of a child and they're good enough that they're going to be a possible number one pick, they're going to be a top three pick, you go. You go back and get your degree later. It's fine. Go back and get your degree later. Take night classes if you really are that conscientious about it. But you go pro and you get your money before something happens, because the opportunity doesn't always stay open forever.
And to even capitalize on, teams are willing to wait. The Timberwolves drafted Ricky Rubio.
Yep.
In the top, what was that, 8th pick overall, I think, or top 10 at least.
Yep. Here's a great example. Notre Dame's Chris Thomas. Excellent point guard. Excellent point guard at Notre Dame. Was Mr. Basketball of Indiana. Went to Notre Dame. Was an All-American as a freshman, but didn't go pro. Played 40 minutes a game every single game for 4 years. By his senior year, that guy was tired. And his stats showed it, and he never made an NBA team. And that was, if he had gone pro his freshman year, would he have made in the NBA? Probably not. He was a great college point guard. Wouldn't have been a great NBA point guard, but he would have gotten paid. And so from that standpoint, how can you tell somebody, don't go pro because I think you're not ready? One more story I want to get to before we go to break. Michael Floyd, wide receiver at Notre Dame, given a third chance at Notre Dame. He has now been in trouble with the law. If you remember, he had a DUI earlier. He has now been in trouble for alcohol-related situations 3 times, and Notre Dame has reinstated him again. Now, Scott, you know where I stand on DUIs. I said it with the whole Chris L. Rucker thing.
Set him down the whole year.
I think automatic year suspension for having a DUI. This is a great example why. You have now gotten in trouble 3 times, and you have now gotten bailed out 3 straight times. Somebody needs to teach these kids a lesson and let them know that in the real world, if you get a DUI, you're in trouble.
What's the best way for athletes to skirt around issues with the law? You go find Jesus.
Correct.
What better way? Where better to find Jesus than Notre Dame?
Notre Dame. And Notre Dame, too. I don't want to hear anything else from Notre Dame about being a clean program and all that stuff. No. Once you start doing stuff like this, which they should have expected once Brian Kelly came, okay? I like Brian Kelly. I think Brian Kelly's a great coach. But Brian Kelly is going to do what it takes to win. Brian Kelly doesn't care about the image of the university. He doesn't care about the image of his players. He wants to win because that's the most important image to him. So Notre Dame should not be shocked if the image of Notre Dame starts to go south a little bit. But I just can't stand when college teams bail out their players for DUIs. You got to sit him down, got to teach him a lesson, and make him prove to you that he's a responsible adult before you're allowed to play football again. Okay, coming up next, we got a couple pretty inspiring cancer stories to share with you on sports. One of them, including a Michigan State player. It's coming up next, Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.